following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
My name is Joseph Allen. I'm pretty much living paycheck to paycheck since I started working at 16. I've used a lot of prepaid cards. When my information was stolen, it took so long to get a card back, and it was just such a pain because I only had maybe $20 on me. And so I had to ask some friends and a girlfriend for money. Yes, hopefully no more of that.
With American Express Serve, you have a full-service prepaid account that helps you handle your money simply and affordably. If your card is lost or stolen, you won't be responsible for fraudulent charges. And with American Express Serve mobile app, you can monitor transactions on the go, all for $1 a month, and all backed by the 24/7 service of American Express. This is what membership is. This is what membership does.
Get started with an American Express Serve card at CVS Pharmacy or Family Dollar today. Terms and restrictions apply. Go to serve.com for more details.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you. It's a very busy week. We've had some good guests and pretty full shows so far.
What goes on when there's no football, Randy?
There's plenty.
What do you do in April?
Oh, we got plenty of stuff going on. I think one of the discussions we're going to have later with the NSAA, to me, I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be, I think, pretty interesting stuff. Procedurally, I want to find out, how does this happen? You know, and with what's gone on in Lexington and Omaha South here in soccer, how does that happen? And I hate to say whose fault is it, but procedurally something went amiss in a couple of the better soccer programs in the state of Nebraska.
And again, for the folks that don't know, we're going to be talking with Rick Squires on our Loper Link, UNK Volleyball, Hastings Baseball Coach Steve Sponberg. Michelle Yu from the Horse Racing Television Network is going to start our Kentucky Derby preview, and then Ron Higdon, one of the many associates at the Nebraska School Activities Association. Soccer, wrestling are among his sports. We told you earlier in the week that Lexington had an ineligible player. We've come to find out that age was a story there. He was too old, shouldn't have been playing soccer, so he was ineligible. So they yank all the wins. And for Lexington, that was 11 of them. And so instead of being 11-4, 0-15, they lost Columbus. They're 0-16 at last check. Now a report from Omaha South that they haven't said what they did.
No.
I don't know that Ron Higdon will tell us, but they're not forfeiting quite all of their games.
I think they have five left.
Yeah, they have five wins. They forfeit seven of their victories, but they're number one and two in the rankings and the wild card points. And I guess my main question is, and we talked about it just briefly earlier this week, Millard North football ran into this. They went from a 7-2 team to a 4-5 team. Well, who are they penalizing? The same athletes are playing. What's going to happen possibly in both Class A and B is that Omaha South loses one player of minimal significance, same way for Lexington. They're the same team. All of a sudden, they're 0-15 and 5-12 or what, 5-10, whatever it is, for Omaha South. Now the team, they're going to fall into a spot where they're going to be an 8 or a 7 seed, most likely an 8 seed, go to sub-state for Lexington, probably go to state or maybe be in a district
they
with
may
the
play
number
the number one
team.
They may very well play the number one team in the state in that sub-state
Who's
situation.
Who's it fair to? It is totally unfair to the team that is opposite of the violators.
Yeah.
Something needs to be addressed, and I just want to know if they've thought about that.
And unfortunately, I don't have a better solution. I mean, for me, I find it pretty easy to criticize, this is how you do it, you shouldn't do it that way, when I come up with a better solution. Honestly, I don't know of a better solution. I think you're in a tough spot, and yes, it's not fair, but if you don't have that realistic penalty for schools that make an infraction, by the way, I think it's important that we point out that both in Omaha South's case and in Lexington's case, they self-reported. They didn't get caught. They found out that they had made a mistake in there somewhere, and they said, here we are. We made a mistake. We need to kind of face the consequences of that. I think it's important to point that out. And you're right that you're penalizing other teams not even associated with this because now they're having an obstacle in their path of making it the state that shouldn't be there. They've earned that. But I don't have a better solution. If you don't make this a realistic penalty for schools that have an infraction like this, you're not really penalizing the schools enough to make sure that we don't have infractions like this.
Well, we'll delve into that in our next segment here on the Doug and Daddy Show. But right now, it is time for our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons. They have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this final day of April. It started with fools, so why not end it with,
nice.
A couple? There
nice.
You go.
Very
and,
nice.
And Rick Squires thought I was mentioning him, but not the case at all. The UNK volleyball coach joins us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Well, we're doing good. Are you on vacation now?
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting in the sun right now, feet propped up.
Swimming pools, movie stars.
That's right.
He's got coconut stuff on. We didn't hear as much hoopla, and it wasn't just UNK, but the Huskers only played a couple of spring games, and I just didn't hear a lot of hoopla about spring volleyball this year. Was that, and you guys had three weekend tournaments, Rick, was that coach's decision, or was it we just didn't talk about it because the Nebraska basketball team was so good, or other reasons, or what was going on?
Oh, I think we just kind of got lost in the whirlwind of sports activity at this time of the year, but we were toiling away and kind of doing what we normally do. Of course, we did not have our Division I Invitational. We could not get enough teams to commit to coming to Kearney, and that thing's kind of hit or miss. And when we get that thing put together, sometimes there's a little more buzz around spring volleyball. But it was still a good spring for us. I mean, we went to Iowa State and played three Division I teams, played at Northern Colorado, and played a single scrimmage with Central Community College at home, and then wrapped up with our Legends Classic. So we did still a lot of the things we normally do. I guess it just wasn't maybe as publicized as some years. And all in all, it was a good off season for us. I think we got a lot accomplished.
Rick, obviously, wins and losses are not really important at this time of year when you're doing your spring stuff. It's working on the things you need to work on, as you said. What are some of those things that you kind of felt you really need to work on, and how? What kind of progress were you able to make over the spring?
You know, I think more than anything, it was a spring where we needed to get some of our younger players on the court. And when you have three seniors graduating who all posted over 1,000 kills in their career, I mean, you're going to have some people step up. And even some of the players who played this year are going to have to take on more significant roles. So, you know, we had a sophomore setter, Aaron Seeley. So another spring season under her belt, really beginning to take the reins and become a leader and things like that were important. And I think she made strides there. But in the middle between Bailey Sokolowski and Katie Weber, who were both freshmen this year going into their sophomore seasons, we needed to see them emerge a little bit. And now Bailey battled some injuries and things like that, so it was a little more difficult with her. But Katie Weber played the entire spring and played in every match, and I think was able to definitely gained some confidence, as was Annie Wolf, who's another freshman from Omaha Marion, and we had her kind of playing left and middle. But I looked in the gym on a regular basis. I think we had 11, most of the time healthy, and 8 of them were freshmen. So it was really an important spring for us to get those people on the court. And, you know, there were some ups and downs, but when we played well, we were really competitive. I mean, got a win against Northern Iowa and beat UNO pretty soundly, and a little more up and down out at Northern Colorado against a mixed bag of competition. But I thought then we played well at our Legends Classic, too. I think we only lost one set, and it was to a fairly young alumni team. So we couldn't feel too bad about that one.
We're talking with Loper Volleyball Coach Rick Squires. Coach, I guess the question some would have is how did you end up in this situation where the team is so young?
You know, some of it is just kind of the nature of the process, just kind of the way things fall. And, you know, we do have two seniors next year, Liz McGowan and Steph Brand. And it just kind of so happens that that class wasn't very big. And but along the way, we did lose a couple. And so all of a sudden you've got just two seniors. And then not a real big junior class either. So it does look like we're going to have a transfer coming in who will be a fourth-year junior. We can't really mention any more about that because none of those things are official, and I think we still got a few hoops to jump through there. But we're hoping that can be an impact for our program, and it occurs at an important time to have another veteran on the floor. So the team will have a young feel to it with a number of these sophomores to be playing important roles, and then really a pretty talented freshman class coming in where we hope to get, you know, at least one or two of them some playing time early on. But it's exciting. It's a talented group, as maybe as physically gifted as we've had here in a while, but, you know, you got to get some experience too, and especially in this league and in this region, most people have talent. So it's a matter of trying to blend talent with experience, and hopefully we'll be able to get them schooled up pretty fast.
Rick, obviously NCAA rules and regulations limit what you can do between now and when you really officially open camp. But some of what can be done is to have kind of those seniors kind of, you know, work them few and do a few things. Are you really at a disadvantage since you are such a young team?
You know, I hope not. The upperclassmen that we do have, I think, are quality people, hardworking. They're great leaders. I do think we have a number of players who are going to stick around this summer or at least come back early. And even the young players have played a lot. So you're always maybe a little bit of a disadvantage when you've got to put freshmen and sophomores out there. But we've seen some teams, you know, you think about, shoot, Kentucky was pretty young this year in men's basketball.
And they got right.
You know, I don't know if we're Kentucky yet, but so let's put the brakes on there. But I think, you know, a lot of times you can still be pretty good even though you have young players. And so we're excited about our talent. I think we've got a quality group of girls just from the standpoint of working hard, working together. And so I think when we get to the fall, you know, there might be some people that need a program the first two or three nights to figure out who everybody is, but I think we've got a chance to become a pretty good team.
Last minute here with Rick Squires before we let him get back to vacation. we mentioned, and that's kind of been the theme here, youth. But you got Massenet coming back, Seely coming back, Liz McGowan, All-American type of player for you. It doesn't appear that leadership would be a problem, which sometimes it can be on a young team.
Yeah, I mean, I like the upperclassmen that we do have, and they're very familiar with our program. They do have experience, and they're well-respected by all the other team members. So even though there's not a lot of them, I mean, it's maybe not even like this year where we had three seniors on the floor most of the time. The ones that we do have, you know, I think they're going to take us in the right direction. And, you know, we feel great about our roster. I mean, it's I think Loper fans are going to see, you know, a volleyball team that has some talent, has a chance to improve throughout the season, and hopefully we'll be in the mix of things down the stretch.
So, Rick, what do you do between now and when you open camp? What's kind of on the agenda now?
You know, we're pretty limited as to what we can do. I mean, we can't do any volleyball-related activities with our players as far as working with them in small groups or anything like that. They can work in our strength training facilities here, and Coach Larson will have everything they need all laid out for them. It's been a really good spring as far as physical training and seeing progress as far as vertical jumps and max testing and all those sorts of things. So up to now, it's been fantastic. And so about all we can do is really emphasize to our team that they need to follow the strength training manual to the letter. They need to do those things together if possible. They need to find a way to play. And the ones who are around here, usually once or twice a week, they can get together and play. We just can't have anything to do with it. And those that are out of town, you know, we do our best to help them find opportunities, whether it's other universities or leagues or even tournaments, as long as they, you know, are within the guidelines of the NCAA rules. But you always hold your breath a little bit over the summer because all this progress can go to waste if somebody just decides to take a vacation.
Rick, last question. Can you give us any insight to the schedule for this fall?
Yeah, I was just kind of piecing some of those things together. It's going to be a little bit different next year than what we've seen in some years. The MIAA, and this is going to be a one-time deal only because Coach has already hated it, sounds like, before we've even tried it. But it's going to be a 22-game conference schedule with no conference tournament. So there is very little in the form of non-conference play going on. We have the opening two weekends will be non-conference play, and both of those will be tournament weekends. The first weekend, I think, which is the 5th and 6th, we will host our Fall Classic, and I think we've got, you know, a good level, a good group of teams coming in, probably highlighted by Northern State, who we played last on Saturday at 7 p.m., who has everybody returning from top 15, top 10 type program last year in the Northern Sun. And then we're going to go to Colorado Springs and Pueblo are kind of co-hosting a tournament, and we're going to do kind of the old nostalgic RMAC run, and we'll play Pueblo, Adams, Springs, and then a team out of Washington, St. Martin's University. And then it's MIAA play from that point forward. And with no tournament, you know, all those games are going to be huge because there's not really a safety net at the end in case you kind of slip. You know, you're going to have to earn your way into that NCAA tournament in the regular season. It's a festival year, and so that kind of messes with things. But so it'll be a little bit different, and then it sounds like we're going right back to more of a traditional MIAA schedule the following year, going to 18 games, a little more flexibility to do some other things.
Well, it's good to see you guys are controlling the budget this fall with no exotic vacations and travel. And
nope.
And I hate the festivals. But we'll talk about that this fall. Hey, Rick, we'll let you get back to work. Thanks for the update on the volleyball team, and enjoy your summer.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks,
take care. Rick Squires, UNK volleyball coach, with a little news there on how the MIAA changing and things like that. So volleyball team, as usual, they're expected to be a top 10-5 program. They'll be in the toughest region in the country, and they'll have to beat the six-time defending national champs.
And do we have we been in the MIAA long enough that we can talk about a traditional schedule? I don't think we've been around that long that we really got used to whatever their scheduling process is.
Let's take a look at a couple of the other Loper notes. Of course, Damon Day and the baseball team play Central Oklahoma. Best-of-three series starts tomorrow afternoon at 2:30. The golf teams and the tennis teams, keeping busy. The tennis team is going. Both of them are advancing on to the NCAA tournament. And let me get that information for you. The women will be in South Dakota. Their first round game is coming up on Saturday, first round match against Northeastern State. The men will have to take on Southwest Baptist for the third time this year, Monday in Bolivar, Missouri. They lost to them in the MIAA semifinals. The Loper Football Backers fundraiser is Tuesday, social at 5:30, dinner and auction at 7 at the Eunice Conference Center. Go to lopers.com for more information. Softball season came to an end over the weekend. Kate Rui, with a top, and we talked with Coach Carnes last week, never committed an error this year, so that was a highlight. They won their final game at home against Fort Hays State.
You know, we almost hate to say really nice things to Damon, you know, but let's face it, he's really put together a pretty good baseball team. It's based on bubblegum and Band-Aids. I mean, six position players being hurt through the course of things, and here they are in the conference tournament and with a legitimate shot of making it into the Final Four. I think he's done... You know, they played a heck of a schedule, and they've done a great job. Hats off to them.
The UNK men's golf team will play in the Central Regional for the third straight year. They head to Eureka, Missouri, starting on Monday. And you'll see the story. We'll talk about it a little bit. But longtime Loper coach and teacher Mary Eiten is stepping down after 37 years. A very successful track coach, among the many items that she helped teach and coach. She was also the cross-country coach for 15 years, even stepped in when they needed a women's golf coach for a couple of years. So you know, Mary, if you've been to any Loper events over the last 35 years. That is our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charter West National Bank. We will be talking with Ron Higdon of the Nebraska School Activities Association, Steve Sponberg, Hastings College Baseball, Michelle Yu, to talk about the Kentucky Derby. It's all coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel,
hi, it's The Herd. Mother's Day's coming soon. Now's the time to show all the moms in our lives our love and appreciation. Our moms, wives, mother-in-laws, yeah, them too. Because moms mean so much. Why not send them the very best? A beautiful bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. A Mother's Day tulip bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. Perfect for every mom. 30 multicolored spring tulips. And right now, they've got an incredible limited-time offer for my listeners. Available today only. Order the 30 Tulip Bouquet for only $30. That's $20 off the regular price. Remember, you must order by tonight to lock in this great deal. 30 tulips for $30. Available only while supplies last. Don't wait. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or mobile device. Click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin. Or call 1-800-FLOWERS and mention my first name.
A wind advisory is in effect for our listening area today. We'll have partly sunny skies with a slight chance for some spotty showers this afternoon. It's met breezy northwest winds with a high of 52. I'm meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now it's 45.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. A
I went down, down, down.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Coming up, Steve Sponberg, Hastings College Baseball. Michelle Yu from the Horse Racing Television Network. As our preview of the Kentucky Derby continues, you'll be able to hear the Oaks Friday, the Derby Saturday, right here on ESPN Radio. Also got some exciting news this morning when it comes to area athletics. Brett Maher has got the call. He is going to be heading to camp with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the Canadian Football League, and we'll do that at the end of the month. And Brett will join us on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show to talk about it.
That's outstanding. I actually ran into somebody who's a Winnipeg Blue Bomber fan at a kicking camp that Brett Maher was in last summer.
I know. It's weird. You get around.
I get around. Who can make a Winnipeg Blue Bomber reference? Not too many people.
That's what worries me about you. You should have been Canadian, you hockey freak, you.
And by the way, my hockey bracket is still looking very, very good right now, pending a couple of game sevens.
I'm rooting for L.A. tonight. Ron Higdon from the Nebraska School Activities Association is gracious enough to give us a few minutes of his time this morning. Ron, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, and thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure, guys.
Well, obviously, Omaha South takes us to another level. We were concerned here, obviously, with a local team in Lexington. And I guess I have maybe some of the same questions that folks have been asking me, and I figured let's go to the NSAA and find out. This is very rare that you have to, and as we said, both schools self-reported, and they have done something that was against the rules. For Lexington, they had an ineligible player because of age. I don't know if you want to fill us in on the Omaha South deal. According to the quotes in this morning's publications, you did not. But what's the difference between these two? And then I guess we'll kind of get into our questions about how you guys address that.
Actually, there's not a lot of difference. Both of them violated one of our NSA bylaws, therefore having to forfeit the games. As far as the details of the individuals, that has to come from the schools. That's just an NSAA policy. But I can answer what, moving forward, what's going to happen. I mean, that's going to, it impacted, in both situations, it impacted boys soccer significantly. Because we go on a wild card point system, both teams were very high on the wild card points, and when we had to make those changes and forfeit the games, it impacted not only them, but several other, specifically the teams that they played, and win or lose, it affected their wild card points. The wild card point system is pretty intricate and difficult to explain, but basically, even if you had beaten South or Lexington, your wild card points would go down because of their record. They become a lower tier team, and therefore even a win doesn't help you when you're high in points. Hope that makes sense. Best I can tell you.
Yeah. And Ron, I don't have a better solution to this, but there is kind of the unfairness, if you will, especially if we take a look at Lexington and that sub-state that comes up. They may very well win their district, be the lowest seeded team that wins the district, and then that next round, they may play one of the better teams in the state. What could very well have been a state championship game now is going to be a game that just allows you to get into state. The unfairness, and again, I don't have a better solution, but the unfairness of how that impacts other teams. Can you kind of address that? And is there any other options from what as a penalty from this kind of infraction?
Sure. I completely agree with you. It doesn't only affect them negatively. It affects several other teams negatively. In the case that you pointed out, is probably the most glaring in the Class B situation, because at the time that they had to forfeit those games, they were second in the wild card points. If they stayed in that situation, then they would obviously probably hosted a sub-state game, regardless of whether they won their district or not. Now they're going to have to win their district, be considered for a sub-state game, and then after the districts will reseed it, and you're exactly right. They'll more than likely, if they do win that game, will be the lowest seed that qualifies for the sub-state game and go against the number one seed after the wild card points are all figured out. So you hit it right on the head when you said what could possibly have been a state championship match is now somebody fighting to just go to Omaha.
Ron Higdon, Nebraska School Activities Association, takes care of soccer among his many duties at the NSAA. And I guess that was my main question, Ron, is we talked about this happening with Millard North a few years ago in football, where it changed them from a 7-2 team to a 4-5 team that was still talented, 7-2 basically going in. But the penalty seems to be hurting the opposing teams more than it does the teams that are actually being penalized. Will this spark discussion? Has there been discussion about what could happen, maybe keeping the wild card points for postseason play so that it is not unfair to the opponents, or has this even been addressed?
As far as being addressed prior to this, it's these things, not necessarily, but I think you're right there. I think it's going to spark some serious conversation. And that penalty is kind of precedent that's been happening over the years. My limited experience at the NSA, it's only happened in that Miller North situation, and the two, and very rare that it happens twice in the same season in the same sport. So I agree with you. Maybe there's something better that can be done, because it does significantly negatively impact other teams as much, if not more, than the teams that got penalized in these cases, for sure, without a doubt. And that discussion has started in our office. I mean, we talk about it exclusively over the last couple of weeks that we've been dealing with this. And I think anything that comes through legislation, and it might, through because of these situations, to address the penalty phase and what is probably more fair to other schools when you're penalizing. I don't, like you said, I don't know what the answer to that is, but maybe we need to look at it and put all our heads together and figure out something better.
Ron, procedurally, you know, they both teams kind of self-reported. They found out that they had an error in their roster and in terms of who the young men that were playing soccer for them. I don't want to say whose fault is it, but procedurally, who generally for a school is going to make sure that you're using eligible players? Is that on the coaches? Is it on the athletic director? Where's the impetus in terms of trying to make sure that a school is following your guys' regulations?
Well, we give information, and our primary contact is the administration of the school. How they handle it locally, I couldn't tell you. I think it's probably different for everybody. But as a team, probably the administration and coaches together have to work on that and make sure that the bylaws that could deem you ineligible are pretty clear-cut. It's not that difficult to find them and know, and in fact, they were easy enough to find that they found them themselves and self-reported. It's just the due diligence of making sure that you do those and have those checks and balances so that this doesn't happen. And we give them tools to do that. I mean, we have several checks and balances that happen in some different ways that they can check it and figure it out themselves, and that's exactly what happened.
Or
did it too late.
Is that information available to them earlier in the season, you know, before game one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was
very beginning of the year before school starts.
I was talking to one of the coaches here since this happened. They say, yeah, we type in all that information and our program will, you know, in their case, it'll change the screen yellow. It'll highlight that kid's name. So they say in this day and age, sometimes even that slides through. Ron, we really appreciate you giving us a couple minutes to talk about this and to let the folks know that this is probably something that will be addressed. It's going to be a busy time. It's soccer time. It's tennis time. It's golf time. It's track time. I know golf isn't your sport, but I wanted to check this out and see, because I get this question asked a lot as well. What would it take for state golf to be held at some of the state's premier golf courses? Not downplaying where they're at, but I think everybody agrees that there are some really neat golf courses in the state of Nebraska. What are the hurdles? I know some of the private clubs, it comes down to finances, but is that the only hurdle?
Well, the way we do it is you have to have somebody submit during the RFP process, and when they do that, then they have to select a course that's willing to host it and willing to do it at a cost that is conducive with what we have going on. I mean, if a country club is going to charge an enormous amount of money, then obviously that's not going to be doable. We don't charge gate at our golf tournaments, so we don't have any way to recoup those costs. If a Kearney Country Club has hosted before and they work out a deal with the Kearney CVB and Kearney Public Schools to do that. So it depends on who the host, if it's a school or if it's a city or a CVB. When they come in with the RFP, then they give what they pose as a good golf course, and then we take it to our board of directors, and they ultimately make that decision. And it's kind of all combined, financial, playing, location, all of that is included.
Well, Ron, when you answer the questions of the public, it seems to make them happy. So, they don't always believe us, so we went right to the horse's mouth. We'll let you get back to your day. And again, really appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show to answer a couple of questions.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Anytime.
All right. We'll see you soon. Ron Aitken, Nebraska School Activities Association.
They're putting between a rock and a hard place on the soccer deal. And like I say, I don't know of a better solution than what they've come up with.
What I wanted to hear, though, was that there'll probably be some spark discussion and maybe some change. And again, I think that you got to keep the wild card points as they are. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, you can penalize them by not letting them host a district in A, which now Omaha South, by the way, it has come out this morning. They will be the number 4 seed and go to number 1 seed Norfolk. They'll be in with Fremont and Omaha Central. Some people think that might even be an easier district, as weird as that may sound. Yeah. Kearney High, instead of going to Lincoln, is now headed to South Sioux City, where they will be the 2 seed and play Papillion La Vista. South Sioux will play Omaha Benson. Grand Island will still host. They will take on Lincoln High with North Platte and Papillion La Vista South in their district. But we do need to take – go ahead.
No, you have to penalize them at least a little bit. Otherwise, why would you not make some violations? So there has to be the forfeiture of the games in your official record and that sort of thing. But, again, you're hurting the other teams, and that's the tough spot. So at least they're having some discussion with that. So if you earn the right to host, now you're still the one seed in that district, but the 2 seed now gets to host it. I mean, that would make some sense.
And again, folks, if you're not a soccer fan, that's fine, but you can institute this in anything, any basketball, any football. What if you're...
It all applies. All applies.
What if you're Kearney High and you went 8-0, 9-0, and all of a sudden you're 0-9? Well, you don't get in.
Yeah.
You don't get in maybe because of one person. I mean, that can happen in some of the other sports.
Because of an oversight. And again, I think one thing that might very well happen is I really think coaches and athletic directors aren't going to assume that the other one is doing the check of whether or not they're qualified. So,
as long as it's not blatant cheating.
Yeah. And in neither case do I have a sense that either one of those two schools was trying to do that. It was an honest mistake, and they're paying a pretty good price, but so are other teams as well.
Michelle Yu of the Horse Racing Television Network expected to join us, as well as Steve Sponberg, Hastings College baseball coach, after this.
Hi, it's Colin. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. Going to the post office takes up valuable time, leasing a postage meter, expensive multi-year commitment, hidden fees. Yeah, well, you know a better way, and we know a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print real official U.S. postage, any letter for any package, right from your desk, using your own computer and printer. You even get special postage discounts you can't get at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save up to 80% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips and standing in line at the post office. Right now, use my first name, Colin, for a special offer. No risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale, and up to $55 of free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the mic, top of the homepage, type in my name, Colin. Stamps.com, enter.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A wind advisory is in effect for our listening area today. We'll have partly sunny skies with a slight chance for some spotty showers this afternoon. It's met breezy northwest winds with a high of 52. I'm meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now it's 45.
Doug and Daddy's show rolling along. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this final day of April. And don't forget our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday we asked you, did you prefer the old best of five NBA first round or the best of seven? Because with some of these series, as close as they are, seven games seems to be fun. 57%, that's pretty close. Like the old best of five, had some upsets in there that way. 43% went with the best of seven. Obviously, the thinking that if you play seven games, the best team is supposed to advance. Well, by seeds, that isn't happening a whole lot right now.
No, it is kind of upended from what it's been in years past. To me, you want the best one to win it. If you're going to have a series, it isn't just that Cinderella, you know, pull off the miracle game at somebody else's place. You want to get the best team to win there. So to me, seven is the one that makes the most sense.
Our Midtown Mark cooler question today, and you can vote anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, they draw the Kentucky Derby today. Will we have another Triple Crown winner? Will it happen this year, within 5 years, 15 years, or never? I can't say never, but God, it sure seems like it's been never. Vote now on the Midtown Mark Cooler Question, ESPNSuperstation.com, and maybe that will be the first question that we ask Michelle Yu. First time on the Doug and Daddy Show, a long time, loves the horses. She's been with TVG. She's with the Horse Racing Television Network and out at Santa Anita. Michelle, we sure appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning.
Oh, good morning to you, and thanks for having me on. It's always great to get to talk Derby.
Well, what's going to happen? Will we ever see a Triple Crown winner again? It seems like we've been close lately, but Belmont, we can't find the third leg.
You know, I don't just think it's the fact that it's the Belmont. I think it's also just the fact of the, you know, spacing of the races. A lot of our horses now are so lightly raced, and then they all of a sudden get thrown into the Triple Crown series where they're racing three times in 5 weeks, and most of these horses are barely racing three times at two, if not three times before they run in the Derby. So I think that has something to do with it. And this year we have a couple of throwback horses that have actually had quite a few races under their belt. Horses like Dance with Fate, horses like your probable morning line favorite, California Chrome. He has 10 starts under his belt. These are kind of horses that we used to see run, you know, and it's good to see horses like that back again.
Well, to go on the other end of that, Michelle, though, Bob Baffert's horse, Opportunity, hasn't run at all as a two-year-old, and we haven't had somebody that's won the Derby that hasn't run since, like, 1880-something that didn't race as a two-year-old.
1882. Yeah, it's called the Apollo Curse. It's been since 1882 that a horse did not start as a two-year-old and went on to win the Kentucky Derby. And if Opportunity is going to do it, he actually has a lot going for him. He is a pattern horse. He wins one, loses one. He's on pattern for a win. He's been training forwardly. His actually last work here on Monday in the rain at Churchill Downs was really sensational. He went a lot smoother than he did his first time around under the Twin Spires. You know, I don't know if his pedigree necessarily states any given Saturday. This is his first stakes winner. You know, period, much less having a horse that's a classic winner. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think if anyone has a shot, sure, why not Opportunity? He definitely has the right connections behind him to get it done. And like I said, he has been training forwardly. He's got a great family line. But that is a long-time standing curse. It's the oldest curse in American sports. So it's hard to try and beat that.
I thought we had
Cubs are trying.
I was going to say, I thought we had some curses around here. Michelle Yu, HRTV, the Horse Racing Television Network. Before we get into a couple more specifics, the draws today, what should we look at, Michelle? What's important? Post positions for some of the horses are important. It's such a big field. But what are you looking for in the draw today?
Well, you know, you definitely want to stay away from the far outside, the far inside. Obviously, we saw Big Brad win from post 20, but he was so much the best the year he won the Kentucky Derby. It's a very, very tough thing. Even just being in the auxiliary gate period is very tough. Of course, we did see Orb win from it, so it's not unheard of. I also wouldn't want to get stuck down on the rail with the break and the shuffle that's going on. And I think this could be detrimental for a horse like California Chrome, who, you know, our Sherman has said we're going to be standing him in the gate. We saw him not break sharp in the Santa Anita Derby after acting up in the gate. And a horse like maybe Samra, who we want a forwardly placed, who adds blinkers for the Kentucky Derby, he was schooling in the gate this morning, and it took him quite a while to actually stand still in there with his blinkers on for the first time. So, you know, we want to see a middle-distance horse or a late closer got a break from the inside, even though no one really wants it because you just run the risk of getting shuffled back. But I think for horses like that that need to be more forwardly placed, it's a terrible spot to be. Anywhere right in the middle of the starting gate is obviously ideal, but when you're talking 20 horses, you know, the odds are kind of against you on where you're going to land sometimes.
Well, Todd Pletcher's trying to increase his odds. He's got four probable starters. Is there one in there that might be able to come away with a Derby win for him?
You know, yeah, I mean, there definitely are. People are loving Intense Holiday. They think he's been training spectacularly. He's coming in for second place finish in the Louisiana Derby. He did take the Risen Star, two starts back for Starlight Racing. He had a working company with We Miss Artie, and he was so much the best of his stablemate that Todd Pletcher actually questioned if We Miss Artie would even move forward. Of course, we know Ken and Sarah Ramsey, they want a horse in the Derby no matter what, so he is definitely going postward. He was one of the 21 that was pre-entered this morning. I personally like Todd Pletcher. Horse Danza. You know, this is a horse they thought of very highly when he was a two-year-old. He had a knee issue and went to the sidelines after running in the Saratoga Special. He came back with a pretty good third in the optional claimer at Gulfstream, and then he went on, of course, to trounce the Arkansas Derby. He really could be sitting on a big race, and he just looks sensational training. He's a big, gorgeous chestnut horse. I mean, he has a beautiful stride. I think that he has a great chance to actually get it done. He might be my favorite of the ones that Todd Pletcher sends forward. And then, of course, they do send in Vincent Ramos as well, coming in off a last-place effort in the Bluegrass Stakes. But it was on poly track. Every other career start he's had, he's finished in the exacta.
Talking horse racing, Kentucky Derby. We'll also get a thought on the Oaks here with Michelle Yu on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Well, I know a lot of Nebraskans are going to love your promotion there of Danza because they seem to fall in love with the Arkansas Derby winner no matter who it is. So I know they're going to be fired up there. Let's ask another question here from our horse racing buddy James in Grand Island. Wants to know, can Dance with Fate get it done on the dirt coming off the synthetic?
You know, here's the thing about Danza State. First of all, he has a knock against him. Obviously, no bluegrass winner since the track switched to synthetic has gone on to win the Kentucky Derby. His other knock against him is after the bluegrass, Peter Ertin really didn't want to run him back in 3 weeks. This was a situation where they pointed for the bluegrass. This was their jewel they wanted to win. Then, of course, Derby fever catches on. You have a horse that won this nicely. How do you not go? But now he's shipped back and forth across the country a couple times in the last 2 weeks. I will say this. Peter Ertin wanted to work him his last work on the turf at Santa Anita. Due to rain, he called an audible. They worked on the dirt in 47 flat, and it was easy. He wasn't being asked for this. He just put in an absolutely sterling work over the main track, and that has to bode well for him. He is grade one placed on the dirt, which, of course, bodes well. And you want to take his effort in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, I would say just draw a line through. It was a speed favoring track that day. He's a come-from-behind horse, and already at the break, he kind of got annihilated. He got shuffled completely back, a lot farther back than he would have been normally. And I do think his effort in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile is not worth a knock against him. I think the biggest thing is that they weren't planning on coming here. You know, a lot of horses start at the Derby and work their way back with how they're going to plan things out. Well, they started bluegrass and worked their way back. And so now there's like a kind of a wrench thrown in their cycle, per se. Physically, he's a sensational-looking specimen. He always has. Since he was two, he's really eye-catching. He seemed to ship well to Churchill Downs, and they're very happy with him back there. The way he's been looking, he's really been making a good appearance to people. I know everyone's been saying how sensational he's been training. So could he do it? Sure. Why not? I think he has a better chance than a lot of these in this field.
Michelle, I want to give the ladies their due a little bit on Friday's Kentucky Oaks, Untappable 4-5. But starting in the number 13 gate, that's going to make that a little bit tougher.
It is absolutely. Actually, yesterday, Brett Free and I were on, and he, from the Daily Racing Form, and he brought up a very good statistic. 11 horses have tried to break from that post, going a mile and an eighth at Churchill Downs, and none of them have been able to win. So she has to overcome a lot for her to be able to get it done. She has been training forwardly as well, and of course, she has all the credentials that you could possibly want. She's really just been trouncing all the fillies she's been beating. I mean, she's almost 20-length winner of her last two races combined. She's never won a Grade One before, so this will be her first, foray into that. As far as being a 3-year-old, she did try it too. She is a horse to beat, and I feel like in another year, we're going by graded earnings and not points. They might have even considered running her in the Kentucky Derby because she's just been so visually impressive that year. But you know what? She didn't scare anybody away. A full field is lining up against her, and I think there's some horses you have to look at. We looked at Rosalind winning the Ashland last time out, and she looked really good. We have Rhea and Tony at 10-1 on the morning line, who just finished second in the Santa Anita Oaks. She is your Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner. And I think Stash and Plate has a sensational chance in here. She's a speed filly. There's only really one other confirmed speed horse. And what I liked about Stash and Plate is every time I say, I think she's going to get beat. I think she's going to get beat. She has showed gumption. And every single time she's gone out, and I've seen her physically improve, I really like Stash and Plate here to try and upset the Oaks.
Well, that takes care of half of our prediction, and it's so early to try and take a shot, I think, at the Kentucky Derby, but I wish we could talk another 20 minutes with Michelle Yu, because this has been a great segment. Michelle, right now, let's say you look at the Kentucky Derby draw today, you're sitting at the 100-1 shot tonight. What are you gonna do at the Derby just on Wednesday, which obviously we give you the chance to change that by Saturday, but right now, what's your feeling if we get a good track and everything just kind of stays the same when we get there on Saturday?
You know, my top four horses in here, I hesitate to pick just one until I see the post position draw, which will happen at 5:00 tonight. My top four are California Chrome, Danza, Candy Boy, and I have to say Wildcat Red. Even though I don't think he's going to be able to get the distance, I think he has distance limitations, and I'm not thrilled by the way he's been training at Churchill Downs. I just love a gutty, gritty horse, and this horse has some heart.
And we got a last question here for you via the Dent Popper inbox. We haven't had a comment on Wicked Strong. It's got a cool Boston connection. That's why it's called that. Your thoughts on that horse?
Yeah, Wicked Strong, a percentage of all of his earnings go to One Strong Boston. I like Wicked Strong last time out. He was a horse we looked at really highly as a 2-year-old, and then his Holy Bull was just so dimsel. You wanted to say, let's blame it on the track bias, and then in that optional allowance race where he was beat very highly, hardly by Constitution, you know, you think, well, I don't know what to do with him now, and you kind of, you know, toss him out in the wood, and he got ignored pretty much in the wood, but Jimmy Jerkins did the right thing by bringing him back to Aqueduct, where he was not contending, a speed bias there, and obviously he was an impressive winner. If you're a numbers player, he's the only one really that can play with California Chrome from a numbers standpoint. I think he's coming in here forwardly. He's also a very good-looking horse here. You'd love the connections of Jimmy Jerkins and Centennial Farm. I think he's absolutely capable. Again, you get the hard spun thing. Are we sure hard spuns want to go 10 furlongs? I'm not sure, but hard spun was a gritty horse himself, and he bucked his own pedigree being by Danzig.
Well, folks, you can tell she knows her stuff. And Michelle, thank you so much for the debut on the Doug and Daddy Show. Can we do it again sometime?
Oh, yeah, anytime. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, enjoy the Kentucky Derby as we will, and we'll chat again soon. Thanks for the time.
Great, thank you.
Folks, you can follow her on Twitter. HRTV is where you see Michelle Yu. And, of course, a lot of the horse racing fans know Michelle from countless years of covering horse racing, and broke down a lot of the horses in a compact amount of time.
It is very clear that she's forgotten more about the horse racing than I know and probably will ever know.
Randy goes, ooh, a gray horse.
I like the one with the blue socks and the blue silks.
What a cool name. When we come back, Steve Sponberg scheduled to join us, Hastings College Baseball coach. Before we head into our final break, don't forget lunchtime Cunningham's, whether it's today, whether it's Saturday, whether it's a Monday, they're there for you. Randy loves talking about them on Wednesday because he always goes in and gets...
It's Wing Wednesday, baby.
There you go. It's eight delicious wings, only $5. Thursday is beer and a pub burger, $6.49. And if you can't leave work for lunch, don't forget the menu is there all day long, 11 until 10. Stop in for happy hour from 3 to 6. Big-ass beers are only $3.50. Well drinks, $1.50 during that time. Great live entertainment every weekend as well. And we can't wait for the weather to be consistently nice so we can party out in the courtyard as well. Stop by and see them. Open 7 days a week on the Bricks downtown Kearney on 23rd Street. Cunningham's Journal, the Loft, and Courtyard.
The Kentucky Derby runs here.
And he's going clear by two lengths and running to the line. Animal Kingdom wins the Derby. I'll Have Another takes the lead in the Derby and up the line. I'll Have Another wins the Derby. Jarvis Moore is absolutely fine. In fact, he's Golden Soul, but it is Orb to win the Derby.
The 140th Kentucky Derby, May 3rd.
Catch all the action Saturday afternoon on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hi, you've reached Zach Fromson. I can't get to the phone, but good news. Our Sprint family plan has an open spot, and Mom said I get to invite the newest member. You don't have to move in with us if you join, and you can get separate bills. So if you want to save a bunch of money, just answer these questions. How do you talk to girls? Do you go Dutch on a first date? Actually, these don't really matter because just about anyone can join a Sprint family plan. But could you do me a solid...
Starting a Sprint family plan is easy, and the more people your family adds, the more you save. For a limited time, get the revolutionary new Samsung Galaxy S5 for zero down and a free Tab 3 when you join a family plan. With better call quality, fewer drop calls, and faster speeds on America's newest network, there's never been a better time to switch. Happy connecting from Sprint.
Offer ends 7/10/14. Maximum plan savings of $30 per line while supplies last. Taxes and surcharges excluded. Zero down plus $27.09 a month for 24 months for well-qualified buyers. Total price $649.99 with 0% APR. If you cancel service, remaining balance on phone becomes due. Tab requires 2-year agreement and data plan. Restrictions apply. See store sprint.com.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino. You can call it plain Kino. My point is this. We aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We continue Kentucky Derby Week tomorrow. Frank Miramonte, he is the track announcer at Oaklawn. Our buddy Gino Bucola from the TVG Network on Friday. Also tomorrow, as we already told you, Brett Maher, he's going to be signing with the Winnipeg Jets, making that, or Blue Bombers, excuse me, making that official today. That's football, not hockey. And Chris Schmidt is going to join us. He is the host of Hail Varsity, and I think some of the folks have seen that and heard about it, but we haven't really talked about it yet. The Hail Varsity radio show, another local show, will make its debut Monday afternoon. It's a 4-6 program, and it is talking all Huskers. It is not 100%,
Big Red, Big Ten.
But it is definitely an emphasis there. It has been on the last couple of years in Lincoln and is expanding throughout the state, and we will talk with Chris and tell you more about that tomorrow. Tomorrow at about this time, if the weather is dry enough, the GPAC Conference baseball and softball tournaments will get going. The softball tournament is at Smith Complex. Hastings is the 4 seed. They'll take on Dakota Wesleyan, and that gets underway at 2. The baseball games tomorrow will be played at 9 a.m. and 12 noon, and you can hear Hastings College Baseball on 1230 KHAS. The Broncos are the 6th seed. They'll play Midland at noon, and Coach Steve Sponberg joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing great, and good Lord, this season flew by. Now, I realize because you didn't get to play about 15 games, it was a short season, but it seems like it's hard to believe that we're already here in the postseason. I just want, before we get into the whole breakdown of the team, how are you doing? 1 year in, you wanted a shot here at college baseball. What do you think so far?
Well, it's been a difficult situation weather-wise, and the reward is to go to balmy Mitchell, South Dakota, I guess, in the next few days here. So weather's really hurt us a little bit. We tried to schedule some games down in south, in Oklahoma and down in southern Missouri and things like that, but the weather didn't cooperate in February and March, so we lost a number of games. But for the most part, it's been a solid year for me. I've learned a lot. To say I haven't missed some of the things about the high school would be lying. When you do something for 37 years, it's a huge change. And so it's been a change here, but we got some I think our administration here is great. They're really trying to upgrade a lot of the programs here, and I've I felt like they've given me great support. And so we're plugging away, and baseball's baseball. We're trying to help our kids get better, and we're glad to make the tournament and see what we can do.
Yeah, Steve, what has been the biggest adjustment for you? I mean, you go from dealing with younger kids, obviously, in a high school situation full-time to what you're doing now. What has been the biggest adjustment for you?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me, like I said, I haven't seen a lot as far as the kids are concerned. You know, I think one of the things that I thought coming in is perhaps they would be a little further along with knowledge and things like that. But we've gone back to teaching fundamentals, baseball, which is what we've done forever. And I think it's paid some dividends. I think we've gotten better. I wish we could have played a number of games early to kind of see that progress in the game situation. But I'm not teaching 8 classes a day, and I just really didn't know at the point I was at in my career, whether I was an assistant football coach, head basketball, and then did baseball in the summer, how many more years that I could do that and do it at the level that I wanted to. So even though this is just baseball here, it is time-consuming. I'm scheduling trips, foods, and things like that. So those are things that I didn't do in high school. So I'm learning a lot of new things, but I've enjoyed the process.
Talking with Steve Sponberg, Hastings College baseball coach. Tomorrow they'll play Midland at 12 noon. There was kind of a three-way tie there for sixth, and I guess the good news is, I mean, if you've got a team in the conference that went 20-0 in Doan, even though you gave them a good game last week, you wanted to stay away from them. Talk about Doan. I mean, you've got enough appreciation to know how tough that is to do what they're doing.
Well, that's a phenomenal record. You know, I think it's the first team ever in the Great Plains Athletic Conference that's gone undefeated, and they are so deep on the pitching staff, and I guess that's one thing we've tried to emphasize to our kids here. For us to get to the level that we want to be, which would be like they are right now, is you got to pitch and defend, and I think they do those two things so well. You know, they can they have 4 solid starters that can go anytime, and their fifth and sixth guys are better than a lot of teams' top people. So, and then they can come hard at you out of the bullpen, and they don't make a lot of mistakes defensively. So they're very, very sound fundamentally. They're well coached. I would say, you know, their offense maybe isn't the best in the conference, but yet in the same token, when you pitch and defend, you don't have to score as many runs. So we played them tough last week, but that's been kind of the story of our season. A lot of the better teams that we've played, we've been involved in games where we've been in the game, but we still haven't found ways to win, and that's something that we've addressed throughout the year, and we've got to get a lot better at.
Coach, you kind of mentioned pitching. What is your rotation looking like, and how do you like your chances when you head into tournament play here?
Well, I think obviously the top 3 teams in the conference, Doan, Northwestern, and Midland, are probably the 3 best teams, and they separate themselves quite a bit from the other teams, and a lot of that's due to the pitching staff. But we feel like, you know, we've played Midland 4 times. We played them 2 non-conference games early and split with them, and then played them here recently and lost a couple of close games again because we didn't do some of the things you got to do well to win. So, but we're going to set up our pitching staff with the best we have to go game 1. That would be A.J. Fraktal. He's a young man out of Grand Island. He's 6-3 for us and has pitched pretty well. He's the one that beat Midland early in the year and did not face him lately. Christian Schneider, a young man from Colorado, is 5-2 for us and has pitched really well here of late, had some health issues early, so he kind of got a late start. But he, since that time, has really picked up and done a nice job. So, you know, our top 2 pitchers have pitched really well all year. We have developed a 3rd and a 4th in Tyler Stender, a kid from Omaha, and then Eric Cantill, another young man from Colorado that have pitched really well of late. But our bullpen has been very average at best, to be honest with you. So we've asked our starters to try to get deep into games and then try to piecemeal it together. So with the game's 9 innings, you're not always going to get a lot of complete games, so you have to develop a bullpen, and that's been the big question mark for us this year. So I think we'll go out, and I think our starters will compete. We hope to get deep into the game with them and then hope our bullpen can come in and do a decent job.
Last minute here, Steve Sponberg joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Hastings College baseball coach. They play tomorrow at noon against Midland on 1230 KHAS. Offensively, the team batting average, if I remember right, is up from last year, even though it's .263. Trenton's hitting the ball pretty well, but just not a lot of power for this baseball team.
No question about it. You know, we have to live on, and that's what we talk to our kids about. We have to do the other things well, because in a nine-inning game against a good pitcher, we're not going to hit any home runs. Like, we have two all year, and those were probably wind-aided. So, but we're not going to hit a lot of home runs, so we have to draw upon. And when you're only hitting about 265 as a team, you know, you're going to get three or four opportunities in which to score runs. So we have to move people by bunt, try to steal a base here or there, and because we're not going to probably piece together five or six hits in an inning. So we have to take advantage when we have situations. We have to execute fundamentally, and maybe we get a hit and we can score a run. And you know, we're not a team. If the game gets up into the 8-9 run situation, we're going to struggle to win. Trent Neal's been our leading hitter, and he's had a great year for us. And he's hitting about 365 right in that area. And then we have two or three other kids that are over 300. Then after that, we drop off considerably. So we try to do a lot of things as far as small ball is concerned, try to pick up a run when we can, and hope that our pitching staff will go out and that we'll play good defense and keep us in games.
Steve, I have to ask you, because I'm as curious, not only as a fan, but as a sports guy. I saw some of the comments and listened with Mike doing the games and seeing what was in the Hastings Trib. But you did go against your son earlier this year in Lance. I mean, now that that's behind you, and who knows what will happen up at the tournament, but what was it like? I mean, that has to be weird. You have to be proud of him. You got to him a little bit, but what was it like?
Well, it was difficult, to be honest with you. You know, I knew that situation could exist, and he'd been thrown a little bit for them during the course of the year. And when we got up there, I was pulling for us all the way. I can tell you that. We were certainly trying to beat him. I think our kids were excited about it, and I think he was competing hard against us. But when you're in the opposite dugout against someone that's kind of been on your side for a number of years, whether that be baseball or other types of sports, it was difficult. But I think I have a lot of respect in the job he does, and I'm a pretty competitive person that wanted to win that game. I thought our kids went out and battled him well, and I think he did the same thing on the other side. But to say it wasn't difficult, and I'm sure he would say the same thing, would be not telling the truth. So I pull for him every game other than when we play him. So I know they're going to be up there now, and I'm rooting for them to win, and hopefully we can win if we match up again. I'm truly a Hastings College fan at that point.
Well, Steve, hey, we always enjoy chatting with you, and we look forward to chatting with you again. Best of luck this weekend up in Mitchell, and we'll be listening to the games.
Hey, thank you very much, Doug. I appreciate it.
Take care. Steve Sponberg.
Joining
us here. Of course, long time at Kearney.
Yeah.
Working at Sutton.
How many times has he used the word fundamentals? I mean,
pitching, defense, fundamentals.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a prophet of that. I mean, and that's why his teams have always been so successful.
That's how you win a billion games.
That's right. I mean, it is.
And I think he's won a billion.
He's won
right
billion.
A billion.
I think with two wins, it'll be at a billion.
Yeah, that's why he goes to Big Daly's Deli all the time, home of bazillion sandwiches. He's got a bazillion wins. There you go. Yeah. Folks, we are here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or you can check out their complete inventory and the many great deals, whether you need a newer pre-owned vehicle or not. Maybe you just need, as we said, a little work done. Maybe you need some tires. Maybe you need an alignment. They can do all that for you. Check those out at thinkmidway.com. Midway can give you over 500 vehicles to choose from on their lot right now, whether they're new, whether they're pre-owned. They're Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. They've got some trade-ins. They always give you a great deal on your trade-ins as well. Check them out. It is time to be thinking about, you know this, Randy. It's May. The old family trip, the summer excursions,
Truckster. Yeah. You got to get the new family Truckster.
They don't have one of those on the lot.
No.
Everything's
they have quality
better than
cars.
That.
Oh, everything
yeah, everything's quality. But Midway can take care of you as you're getting for baseball and soccer and all the travels that your family will do this summer. Maybe it's just you and Ma or you and Pa, and you're going to hit the road for a little vacation, getting those kids off to college.
You might as well ride in style.
Do it.
And know
ride.
You're going to get there.
Make graduation cheap. Keep it for yourself. Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Covered a lot of ground today. We didn't really talk a lot on the national scene. This Joey Crawford deal, made a mistake last night in the NBA playoff game. Make the free throw and beat the team at home that you're supposed to beat, Oklahoma City. This will shock me. I knew Memphis was good, and we talked about this when we made our predictions. I just thought, being a 7 seed, Oklahoma City was a bad draw, I thought, for them. Apparently not, and they've got a chance to put it away. Atlanta's got a chance to put it away. Washington took out Chicago, so my bracket is blowing up, which is fine. I took all the chalk except for Toronto, even though they were the 3 seed. I still took them. A lot of people was going on the other side there. But Randy, you're going to
take care of business.
You're going to have some funky things. And again, I just say I'm on the Miami Heat, and I'm stronger on the Heat than I ever was as of today.
Yeah, I mean they're certainly they swept. I mean they're going to be more rested. To me, they just look more complete than everybody else right now. I thought the Spurs were, but there's been a few cracks that's kind of showed up, and the Thunder, they just, I don't know. You need to have a third head. They're a two-headed monster. You need to have a third head. You need to have that third weapon that you can kind of go to down the stretch, because I think you can shut down. The NBA teams are good enough, they can shut down your top two scorers, or at least slow them down. If that's the only place you get your points from, then you're going to be in trouble. And I think the Thunder are in trouble.
Do I even have to ask what you're doing tonight?
Yeah, no. I am. I might have to start a little late because I got a DVR. But I'm watching the Avs game. Don't bother me during the Avs game.
Crowbar your ass out of your recliner. Three game sevens in the NHL tonight. Three of them.
Three. Well, I have a commitment that I have to kind of do tonight. Otherwise, I would be all the way through with split screens and all that stuff. Yeah.
This is something I'd make fun of you for, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Yes, okay. Philadelphia at the Rangers, Minnesota at Colorado, Los Angeles at San Jose, Nebraska, weather permitting, and if it doesn't rain anymore, they will play UNO tonight at Werner Park. They were rained out against Creighton yesterday. They'll make that up May 13th. You can hear tonight's game 6:30 on 12:30 a.m. KHAS. The soccer district pairings are out. We went over the boys. The Kearney High girls will be hosting next week as well. So the Kearney girls, as we mentioned, they are going to be hosting the A5. And did I already have that pulled up? Yes, I do. And that gets underway on Monday. Kearney and Lincoln High at 5. Omaha Burke and North Platte at 7 o'clock. And then the finals.
North Platte had a nice draw there. Considering where they could have headed, they probably are pretty excited to be in Kearney versus some other locations that North Platte could be going.
Did I miss anything?
I think we got everything kind of covered.
Well, then let's get on out of here.
Let's do. I got wings to eat.
We don't have to. Yes, you do. We don't have to worry about commissioner's press conference today and doing all that Clipper stuff. I am shocked, although it would have been an iconic moment in NBA history for the wrong reasons. Stephon Curry and Golden State said if something hadn't happened yesterday with Donald Sterling, they were going to walk. They would have tipped off the game. All the fans would have been there, and then they would have tipped off and walked off the floor in protest. I just hope these NBA teams just settle down. They're going to take care of it and go out and play your best. Forget about this guy. Don't let him ruin.
Do your job. Do your job. Let the commissioner do his. Yeah. And I think the commissioner did a good job. I think that's the exactly right measured response.
We want to thank all the fine folks who joined us today. UNK volleyball coach Rick Squires, Hastings College baseball coach Steve Sponberg, Ron Higdon of the Nebraska School Activities Association talking about the forfeitures for some of these soccer teams, Michelle Yu, HRTV with a preview of the Kentucky Oaks and Derby. Tomorrow, the voice at Oaklawn Park, Frank Miramonte, the Mirror Man, will join us. Brett Maher, who is going to go kick for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the CFL, is going to join us. Chris Schmidt of Hale Varsity. It's a busy week. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.